Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Rolls preview show. Well, today I've been joined by Alex Everson. Hi, Alex. How you doing?
Pretty good, Paul. Thank you. How you doing?
Not too bad in that kind of what do you call it? The crimbo limbo.
Yeah, it's the week when no one knows what day it is or what date it is.
Although it's a bit weird this year, but there we go. So we have got Swansea City tomorrow, but just a quick look back at the game that we had against Luton Town. Really good to get back on track and get another 3 points on the board, wasn't it?
Yeah, especially after we've, had two losses against high-flying teams in Brentford and Norwich in the two games before. It was good to be able to get back and pull together a performance and a result, which was probably needed in all honesty after those two losses in the week beforehand. So yeah, nice to pick up the 3 points and see us still sitting in the top six.
Yeah, and also Padovic again hinting that Lucas Jow might be back involved in some way, and also Omar Richards. If either of them were back, it would be a boost, wouldn't it? Even on the bench.
I mean, either of them being back would definitely help. The defense at the minute is just completely obliterated by injuries all over the place. Full backs, centre backs, both sides. They're just, injuries everywhere. So to have Richards back would just give them more options. And then Joao coming back up front would just be, huge, obviously, as we've all seen over the last month or so. Not having him in the side is such a struggle for us to be able to play the style of football that we want to play with him holding the ball up and bringing the attacking midfielders into play. So having him back would be fantastic. Obviously, believe it when I see it with those two coming back. It's one of those things where you just have to wait and wait and wait until they're actually fit and back up to match speed.
Yes, I think so. And also something that came out was afterwards, which wasn't surprising. We all kind of guessed that the club will be trying to get new contracts for Elise and Omar Richards, particularly the situation with Michael Elise. His value is £8 million, supposed clause. Nobody can work out whether that's true or not. I mean, I can't really see him going in this window unless we desperately need money, which could be the case, but how do you think that's going to pan out?
I guess if it was down to the club, I'd be surprised if they were to let him go. If they have the choice between him staying and going, I'd be very surprised if they let him go if there's no clause in his contract. I can't see any club really being desperate enough to sign him in January that they're going to come in and bid a huge amount of money for him. After all, January is kind of that window when you're going in to buy players who are going to improve you there and then. And him being a younger player still, he's unlikely to go into many of the Premier League teams and be playing every week. So are they going to want to splash out on him mid-season? I don't know. It seems unlikely. I think another 6 months of development at Reading would probably be more beneficial for him. But obviously, he's a professional footballer and he's going to want to, he has ambitions and wants to play at the highest level he can. So it may be that on a personal standpoint, he's looking to leave ASAP, and we'll just have to wait and see whether that's January or whether that's going to be later than that. Obviously, as Reading fans, though, we're all hoping that it's going to be later than January, and he's not got that clause in his contract.
100% want to keep him. There's absolutely no doubt on that. On the slightly positive side, though, is we've already got a kind of semi-replacement now back fit and in the team in John Swift. He's going to be a big plus, isn't he? Especially against a team like Swansea City.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be key now that he's back. You can see him maybe slotting in against Swansea. I don't know if he's going to start, but it would be surprising if we don't see him get some minutes again, just to try and build his match fitness back up to being able to play 90 minutes. And having him on the field is a big difference, just in terms of being able to keep the ball in and around that attacking third. And yeah, he's got the quality to be able to unlock defences. So when we're playing against someone like Swansea, who are just incredibly strong defensively, having somebody like John Swift is going to be a massive, massive plus.
Yeah, you touched on their defensive record. It's crazy. 12 goals they've conceded. I mean, we've conceded 27 as a comparison point. That is going to be a massive test, isn't it, against them? Even though they are in second, they're only 3 points ahead of us. It's still a big, big game for us.
Yeah, I think there's a definite quality gap between us and Swansea, and I think anybody would it'd be very difficult to deny that. Steve Cooper's got them playing, you know, very good football. They've won four of their last six, I think it is. They've only conceded two goals in their last six games. And it's going to be a very difficult game for us. We never really do that well at Swansea either. Definitely one of our worst bogey teams, in all honesty. I think I was having a look earlier today, and we haven't beaten Swansea since 2008. Is it 2000? Yeah, 2008. September.
No, Alex, they haven't, yeah, haven't beaten them in 16 games,
which is a crazy record, right? Like, that we haven't beaten them in that long, and even in that record, even in that time, we don't even pick up that many points in terms of draws against them. We lose so often against Swansea. And it's going to be very difficult to see us turning that round at Swansea with what is a pretty injury hit squad against a team which is just in red hot form.
Yeah, it does seem unlikely, doesn't it? But you never know with the team. It's just about looking at it, how kind of, I looked at the match report from the QPR game when they played recently and they won 2-0. A lot of Swansea fans saying they were very unconvincing and they got through the game, but mainly because QPR had nothing up front, which is a worry with the situation with us at the moment with the lack of strikers. So how do you think it's going to go, Alex, on Saturday? Saturday on tomorrow?
I mean, as you said, I think Swansea, although they're winning, are not necessarily convincing their fans. However, I guess wins are what matter at the end of the day. And the game could go one of two ways. We could see us put in a performance like a Luton or like a Blackburn potentially earlier in the season, where we turn up and we actually play to our potential. Luton, I guess, not so much, but something like Blackburn away, where we go out and we take the game to them. I think that's unlikely, though, if Zhao isn't playing. I think we're going to try and, like, you know, camp in our own half and really settle to try and play counter-attacking football against Swansea, which I personally think is probably a mistake. We're not going to be able to stop Swansea for 90 minutes from getting a chance on goal. And given the current, I guess, concerns around Raphael's form, I wouldn't be that comfortable with us sitting to play counter-attacking football. The other scenario is that we put in a performance like we did against Brentford, concede early on, and the game kind of drifts away from us and we lose comfortably. I think these scenarios both sound quite like pessimistic, but I find it difficult to see how we're going to get much out of this game, in all honesty.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair enough. And I think Raphael's situation is going to be an interesting one. I don't think it'd be make a change for this game, but we are moving towards that. If he keeps on making these mistakes that are really kind of costing us points and situation and making it more stressful for the team, I'm going to say a 2-1 win to Swansea City. Unfortunately, I can't see us getting anything from this, and I totally agree with you. So thanks for joining me, Alex. And I just want to also say, if you're listening to this on SoundCloud, please be remembered that we will be moving away from SoundCloud soon and you won't be able to listen to us. So try us on Spotify or iTunes going forward. Cheers, Alex.
Cheers.
Right then, now it's time for a chat with a view from the opposition. And I've been joined by Gitte Luwenin from the Jackcast. Hi, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Not doing too badly. Your team has sat in the second place in the Championship. How's it been going this season?
Very well. I mean, we did very well post-lockdown at the end of last season, and it seems like we've carried on that form into this season. And the key thing for the end of last season was that Steve Cooper, the manager, found a system which seemed to work and seemed to get the best out of most of our players. And that involved five at the back, really utilising our wing backs. And we stuck with that formation, despite a summer of quite significant changes in many ways in personnel. But we stuck with that formation and built on what the success of the end of last season. And he's created a team that's got a winning mentality and that's very difficult to beat.
Would you say they play in a traditional Swansea way, free-flowing, or would you say it's a bit of a different formula you've got now?
Yeah, I don't think this. You still hear people say like, "Oh, Swansea like to, you know, keep the ball on the floor and like to pass it around." You're thinking, it's probably less true now than it has been at any point in the last 15 years, possibly. I mean, we are functional, I would say, rather than spectacular. A lot of our games involve us just keeping it very tight at the back and then taking our chances at the other end. And against QPR, I think our possession stats were in the 30s. And actually, that's not too far out of the ordinary. You know, I haven't checked this out beforehand, but I would guess that we've had a minority of possession in most of our games this season. We're quite happy allowing the other team to have most of the ball. Our pass completion rates are not great, really. They're down probably towards the bottom half of the championship. And we're not the kind of silky smooth passing side of previous Swansea years, but it's a system that works. It's not to everybody's tastes. I should point out there are Swansea fans who will still say, yeah, we're winning, we're doing really well, but it's not that pretty, is it? It's not that entertaining. It's not typically Swansea. And it's like, no, it probably isn't. We're still capable of doing that. We went through a lovely run before the last international break where we played a lot of fantastic football. But that's not been the rule, really. It's been the exception.
Yeah, because you did have that really golden era for Swansea City when you also had ex-manager of Reading, Brendan Rodgers, who was probably kind of like the pinnacle, the person who really pushed Swansea to that position. He must be one of the most adored people of Swansea City's history.
Yeah, I mean, legendary status. I mean, I take it he doesn't hold the same status at Reading. he came in when we'd been in the championship for 2 years and narrowly missed out on the playoffs in both years. So, I mean, the foundation was there when he took over. Roberto Martinez was the one who really kick-started that with introducing the style, but he kind of managed to add sort of the defensive solidity that we'd had with Paulo Sousa the previous season to that lovely flowing football that Martinez had introduced. And he obviously took us up to the Premier League, which was only the second time in our history that we had done that. And obviously he only lasted one season after that, but he, you know, is a massive figure in our history. And we take a lot of pride actually in the success that he's enjoying now at Leicester.
Yeah, unfortunately, during that time that Brendan Rodgers was there, we had one of the matches, well, probably least enjoyed by as a Reading fan, but obviously one of the most enjoyable moments as a Swansea fan. I have to talk to you about that playoff final. I mean, we didn't turn up for the first half, but you just murdered us in that period, didn't you?
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring it up, but since you have, we've lost playoff finals in the past. It's a horrible feeling. It's the worst. My most painful memory as a Swansea fan is losing the League One playoff final to Barnsley in 2006, I think it was. I fully sympathise with Reading for that day. And in fairness, you said the first half could not have gone any better for us. Everything we did went in, really, and we, you know, we're 3-0 up at halftime. And I remember I was counting my chickens fully at halftime. I was planning the trips to Anfield and Old Trafford, etc. And despite the fact my dad was warning me, oh, there's still a second half to come. And of course, the start of that second half, you really gave us a scare. When it went to 3-2, I was biting my fingernails in a way that I've never done before. And then, of course, that famous moment when it hit the post, came back and looked destined to be 3-3, but a monumental block from Gary Monk just decided the game, probably. And it's one of the most iconic moments in our history, probably, that block. Even though 4 goals were scored that day by us, it's the block, really, that you could say is probably the most important part of it. And in fairness, you know, it was an amazing day for us, and Reading fans were great on that day. They were congratulating us afterwards. I did get the feeling, I'll be honest, before that match I was pretty confident, and it did feel like kind of our moment. You just get these feelings sometimes, like everything would be building up to that, and it just felt like we were going to do it that day. And I may be wrong, but I didn't get the impression the Reading fans quite felt the same way. And perhaps the fact that Reading then went on and built on that season and went up the following year possibly confirms that. I don't know. You could probably tell me better than my kind of hunch says.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I remember going to that game and thinking we might get a win here, but it just felt the way that you were playing. And we weren't playing badly. You get to a playoff final. Obviously, you're a decent team straight away. But I just felt you had the edge. And I felt that you looked like a team that was destined to go to the Premier League and probably stay there for a bit because you just had that beautiful setup of football and the quality and the players coming through and everything. Good thing is, next season, we managed to win the league. So there's an upside for Reading fans listening to that. So it's not all bad at all. But looking at the game coming up tomorrow at Swansea, it's going to be really, really tough for us. Where would you say are the worrying areas that slightly concern you about Swansea?
We don't score many goals. I mean, we score regularly, but not in massive chunks. We haven't scored more than two goals in any game this season. We are not the most creative of sides. We're highly reliant on our wing-backs, Connor Roberts and Jake Bidwell. If you can stop them from playing, then you'll go a long way towards stopping us from playing. I mean, in the first half against QPR on Boxing Day, we were poor. We really could not get into the game at all. And one of the obvious factors was that we couldn't get our wing-backs into the game. But then 5 minutes before the break, Connor Roberts started finding the ball on the right-hand side, and then suddenly he's putting a cross in, which causes a bit of trouble, and it results in a goal. So if you can stop our wing-backs from playing, you've gone a long way towards stopping us from scoring. If you give them freedom, then they can really cause you problems. But if I was in the Reading camp, I would say those are the areas that you really should concentrate on. But I mean, I'll be honest, we can play various ways. We can get the ball down and play, or we're perfectly happy to knock it into the channels and get Ayew and Jamal Lowe chasing the ball. So that, you know, in the old days, you could kind of, if you could stop us getting our passing game going, then that was it. But these days, no, we're perfectly happy hitting it long and trying to catch out teams that way. But still, I think the wing backs are the ones that Reading should probably look to stop if they want to stop us having fun.
Yeah, well, look at that. On the flip side, the positives of Swansea, 12 goals they've conceded. That is just crazy. I mean, you've got to be happy with that.
It's fantastic. I think we do have the best defence in the league. At the start of the season, we were saying probably on paper it was the best in the league, and now I think it's been proven in performances. And that's with us losing our best centre-back in Joe Roden to Spurs in the summer transfer window. But we reinvested that money wisely. We've brought in Ryan Bennett on a free transfer from Wolves, who's added much-needed experience. We've got Mark Ehi on loan from Chelsea, who is, in my opinion, the best defender in the league. I think he is just destined for great things. He's a great combination. He's got athleticism. He's good with the ball at his feet. Defensively, his decision-making is outstanding. At the other, the third centre-back, then you've either got Kyle Norton, who is a very experienced, traditionally a full-back, but now playing on the right side of that three centre-back combination, or you've got Ben Cabango, who is just quite an old-fashioned centre-back, even though he's only 20. Just wins everything in the air, strong in the tackle, just very difficult to get around. You combine that then with the wing-backs who are happy to come back and defend. We've got a decent goalkeeper in Freddie Woodman, and we've got a midfield as well that pitches in and makes it difficult for teams to even get to the defence. It's all set up really to stifle the opposition and make it difficult to score against. And we've that's the one thing you can say about Swansea, is that we very rarely give the opposition an easy game.
Yeah, I'm slightly daunted by this. I'm going to be honest.
The one thing I'll say is the Reading style is probably better suited to breaking us down. A lot of teams come here, and because we're not actually the tallest team in the division, but they come here and try to knock balls into the box, etc. Cardiff did that recently in the South Wales Derby, and we dealt with absolutely everything. We still haven't conceded a headed goal this season. We've got the best stats in the league when it comes to defending crosses and set pieces. So, if a team that tries to play it through us is going to have more luck than a team that's just going to lump it into the box and hope for the best.
Yeah, but I can't see us trying to do that, really. Even when we've got Lucas Joao, if he was fit, we don't play in that style under this manager. We're quite happy to go long. Sounds like you'll do that sometimes, but that's not really where we want to be. We're kind of like playing it nicely in triangles and creating those angles. But looking at the stats, it's a little bit of a concern if you're a Wren fan, because Swansea are unbeaten in 16 competitive matches against us. They've only got one home defeat all season. I don't know. How do you think it's going to go then, Guto? I'm not quite sure.
I think it's going to be tight. I really like a lot of the things that Reading have been doing this season. I actually thought you'd have a great season last year, based on a couple of the signings that you made.
You were the one person in the UK.
I actually thought, like, you know, you were possibly an outside chance of making it into the top six. And that obviously didn't materialise. But this season, it seems like it has. And you've got a lot of, you know, good young players there who, you know, play good football. And seem to be onto a really good thing. And I mean, if you come down to the Liberty and play the way you have for most of the season, I think you'll give us a really tricky game. First goal is going to be key. So I don't think we're going to see either team open up, really. I mean, when we've scored first this season, we've taken 34 points from a possible 36. If we take the lead, we don't lose. It's that simple, really. We're very good at just shutting down games and seeing out results. So I think if you get the first goal, then it'll massively suit you, because it'll put the onus on us to attack and open up, and that'll leave gaps. Which aren't there usually. If we score, then I'd be very confident that we could see it out. But it's very difficult to say. And if I was to put money on it, I'd probably go for a draw, if I'm being honest. If I was to call for either team, I'd probably say with our current form, I'd say we're slight favourites, but there's very little in it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be very tight. One final question here. If you could pick any player from the current team or in the past from Reading, which player would you have liked to have seen at Swansea?
I think from the current team, I'm going to go for Elise. He looks like the kind of player that we could really use in our team. I said, you know, we're not the most creative of teams, and he's just got that spark. He's great to watch. He's capable of scoring goals. He's tricky. I mean, he's a great prospect to have. Absolutely fantastic. So I think if you were to put him in our team, I think it would make quite a considerable difference. From the past, I that season when you know, you reached the playoff final, I really liked your wingers. Jimmy Kibbe was fantastic, and McAnuff on the other side, you know, they were great players to watch. And that you know, the team that you had when you went up to the Premier League too, just you know, full of fantastic players, and the strikers especially. We actually did get Leroy Lita much later on in his career, when that was one of the strange decisions that Brendan Rodgers made, was bringing in Leroy Lita years after he'd been smashing them in for Reading. But you know, the likes of Doyle and Shane Long, etc., those type of players, those are the ones that we remember from who was the Korean player that you had?
Sol.
Yeah. Well, he was quite likable as well.
He was a strange player, because he's very, very talented and scored some really spectacular goals in the Premier League, but then just disappeared completely.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. Just, you think, wow, you've got all this ability, and then you just drop off a cliff.
Very strange. But so those are my answers. But I should say, I think the current Reading side is probably the most talented that you've had for a number of years. And there are, you know, when you look at the likes of Joao, I think Mate's out at the moment, isn't he?
Yes, but
he's among the, you know, most capable strikers in the division. You've got Elise, as I said. I'm a big fan of John Swift. I know he's been out, but really good player there as well. You know, you've got those players that I think several players who would actually get into any team in this division by now. And that's why I think Reading are probably going to sustain the current form, and would be a good shout for the playoffs at the end of the season.
Yeah, fortunately, we've really suffered with our defensive injuries recently. That's been our big worry coming into this. But thanks a lot for joining us, Guto. I really appreciate it. And we'll be back with a podcast after the match tomorrow night, and we'll have more podcasts throughout the week. Cheers.